Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we are studying Yishayahu Perek Chaf Vav. After several prakim that include the promise of punishment and destruction to various nations of the world, this perek takes an entirely different tone. Bayom hahu yushar hashir hazeh be'eretz Yehuda, ir oz lanu Yeshua yashit chomot vachel. On that day this song shall be sung in the land of Yehuda, ours is a mighty city, he makes victory our inner and outer wall. This nevuah is either a reference to the future redemption of Mashiach, or a reference to the small stream of exiles from Malchut Yisrael who returned to Malchut Yehuda during the reign of Chizkiyahu, after their kingdom was conquered by Assyria. On that day of redemption, we will sing a song of praise to Hashem, thanking him for returning us to our Ir Oz, our mighty city. Malbim explains this praise more specifically. Yeshua Yashit Chomot Vachel means that our city is not fortified with walls and fortresses, but instead with Yeshuat Hashem, with Hashem's miraculous protection and salvation. Pasuk Bet, still part of our song of joy, asks God to open the gates of the city and let the righteous Jewish nation return. Pitru Sha'arim Vayavo Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunim. Open the gates and let a righteous nation enter, a nation that keeps faith. The Pasuk calls us Shomer Emunim, a nation that keeps faith. Rashi explains this to mean that the Jewish people kept their faith throughout the long years of Galut, waiting for Hashem to fulfill his promise, waiting metaphorically at the gates of the city for those gates to reopen and let them back in. This brings to mind a beautiful perek of Tehillim, perek Kuf Kaf Bet. Although this perek is generally understood in the context of the Shalosh Regalim and people streaming to the Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo will build, the words of David HaMelech seem perfectly suited to the context of our perek as well. Samachti be'omrim li beit Hashem nelech. I rejoiced when they told me we were going back to Yerushalayim. Omdot hayu raglenu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim. We stopped and we stood in the gates of Yerushalayim, amazed at the sight of our beautiful city. Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra layachdav. Appreciating being back in the rebuilt city, the city that unifies us. In Pasuk Gimel, Abarbanel explains, we ask God for two things as we re-enter the city. One, Yetzer Samuch Titzor Shalom, to guard our minds and help our intellect overcome our Yetzer Hara by not giving in to instinct or impulse. And two, Shalom Kibacha Batuach, to grant us peace with the nations of the world. This prayer is also echoed in David HaMelech's words in Tehillim Perek Kuf Kaf Bet. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, Yishlayu Ohavayich. Pray for the peace of Yerushalayim, let all who love her be at peace. Yehi Shalom Becheleich, Shalva Be'armanotayich. May there be peace within your walls and in your palaces and towers. Pasuk Dalid continues our song of praise. Bitru b'Hashem ade'ad, ki b'ka Hashem tzur olamim. Trust in Hashem forever and ever, for in Hashem you have an everlasting rock. Malbim explains, what does it mean to trust in someone? It means that they not only have the capacity to fulfill your requests, but also the desire to fulfill your requests. In addition, says the Malbim, you have to be sure that that capacity and desire will endure, will be constant and unchanging. That's why our pasuk urges us to trust only in Hashem. We can rely on him ade'ad, forever, because he is a tzur olamim, an everlasting rock. This image of a rock implies stability and sturdiness, something unchanging that will stand the test of time. For this same reason, the Prudential Insurance Company chose the Rock of Gibraltar as their logo. It conveys the idea that they are here for you, no matter what. Hashem is even better than an insurance company. He's not just a rock, but a tzur olamim, a rock of both worlds, here for us in this world and still here for us in the next world. Pasuk Hey evokes a now familiar theme. God will humble the haughty nations of the world by leveling their cities to dust. Our last perek delivered this exact prophecy in reference to Moab. Now, says Abarbanel, the prophecy is directed at Rome. The pasuk uses the word Yoshvei Merom, a play on words, suggests the Abarbanel, for the name Rome, Romi in Hebrew. In addition, Pasuk Hey describes a high city and a secure city, both of which apply to the mightiness of the Roman Empire, although not exclusively. This makes sense with the Pasuk that follows, assuming that our current exile, Galut Edom, at the hand of the Romans, is our last. Yishayahu says, Tirmesena ragel ragle ani pa'me dalim, to be trampled underfoot by the feet of the needy, by the souls of the poor. The mighty empire of Pasuk Hey will be trampled by the feet of the poor. The Navi Zechariah describes Mashiach as Ani v'rochev al chamor, humble and poor, riding on a donkey. Based on this description, Abarbanel suggests that our pasuk is telling us that once the Roman Empire is leveled to the ground, reduced to dust, Mashiach will trample on those ruins on his way to redeem us. This pasuk is the last of the song of praise that began in pasuk Aleph. From here, the next part of the perek comes straight from the heart of Yeshayahu. He has a philosophical problem that he poses in pasuk Yud, a question that has been asked by so many. Yuchan Rasha ba lamad tzedek. When the scoundrel is spared, he doesn't learn righteousness. Why does it seem like wicked people enjoy success? This bothers Yeshayahu. He complains, when evil people are spared punishment, they fail to learn the lesson of justice. Yeshayahu's question is not coming from a place of criticism, but from a genuine desire to understand. This is clear from the way he builds up to his question in the three preceding psukim. He begins by calling God Yashar, upright. He praises Hashem for helping the righteous man take the most direct path towards his reward. He extols the greatness of God's Orach Mishpatecha, his just path. Just before asking his question, Yeshayahu says, Ki ka'asher mishpatecha la'aretz tzedek lamdu yoshvei tevel, that when God judges, the world learns the meaning of justice. However, asks Yeshayahu, doesn't justice get lost when evil people prosper? Malbim explains that Yeshayahu's complaint is twofold. One, an evil person should get the punishment they deserve so that justice is served and so that they don't continue to sin. Two, when an evil person gets away with their bad behavior, other people lose their yirat Hashem, or at least their fear of punishment and retribution. This is the meaning of the second half of Pasuk Yud. Be'eretz nechochot ya'avel uval yireh ge'ut Hashem. A place that was once upright now becomes wicked and ignores the supremacy of Hashem. Malbim and Metzudah David explain, God has the supreme power to reward and punish tzaddikim and rasha'im for their true nature and deeds. But if God doesn't use that power, then no one will acknowledge that he has it. Radak explains that God's supremacy is the fact that he supervises the world on a very specific and individual level. If God doesn't punish the wicked, won't it seem that he is no longer watching or no longer caring about what happens in the life of each person? Yeshayahu continues his argument in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem rama yadcha bal yechezayun, yechezu ve'yavoshu kinat am, af esh tzarecha tochleim. Hashem, they don't see your hand exalted. Let them be shamed as they behold your zeal for your people and fire consuming your enemies. There are multiple schools of thought as to how to read this pasuk. Ibn Ezra suggests that this entire pasuk is spoken by Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says, God, if you hold back your punishing hand, the wicked people don't see your justice. Punish them. Let them see justice. Let them be ashamed of their actions. Metzudat David and Radak suggest that Yeshayahu is telling Hashem that even when he does punish, evil people don't perceive their punishment as the hand of Hashem, but instead see it as random. Rashi quotes a midrash that explains this pasuk as a dialogue between Yeshayahu and Hashem. According to the midrash, Yeshayahu is not complaining that God withholds his punishing hand, but is asking God instead to withhold his beneficent hand. Yeshayahu begs, let the wicked not see your Yad Ramah, your exalted hand that bestows goodness upon Am Yisrael. And Hashem replies, Yechezu v'yevoshu, let them see and let them be ashamed. This midrash works well with the second part of the pasuk, which references Kinat Am, the envy that God's enemies will have for his Jewish nation. Malbim takes an entirely different approach. He views this pasuk as Yeshayahu's response to God's unspoken defense of his decision to not always punish evildoers. It's as if Yeshayahu is saying, God, I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me that you can't always punish the wicked immediately after they sin, because then they would become instinctively conditioned not to sin simply because of their fear of punishment. This would deny them free will, and I know you're not willing to take away their freedom to make their own choices. But, says Yeshayahu, I disagree. I think they should still be punished. Malbim explains the end of the pasuk as Yeshayahu's closing argument. Af ish tzarecha tochleim. Let the fire that they lit with their sins consume them. In other words, their punishment should be the natural consequence of their sins, just like getting burned is the natural consequence of playing with fire. As for the Jewish people, however, Yeshayahu pleads with God that we have had our fill of punishment. Our exile was punishment enough, and now it's time for us to enjoy some peace. We deserve this peace, argues Yeshayahu in Pasuk Yud Gimel, because all that time that we languished in Galut, we were faithful to Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu be'alunu adonim zulatecha, levad becha nazkir shemecha. Hashem, masters other than you possessed us, but only your name will we utter. Malbim and Radak explain, when we lived in exile, our oppressors tried to force us to worship their gods, but levad becha nazkir shemecha. Yours, Hashem, was the only name we called. We were faithful. We didn't betray you and worship Elohim Acherim. Therefore, we deserve some peace, a break from punishment and suffering. Metzudat David sees the same idea in the pasuk that follows. Yasafte legoi Hashem, yasafte legoi nichbadeta, richakta kol katzvei aretz. When you added to the nation, Hashem, when you added to the nation, extending all the boundaries of the land, you were honored. According to Metzudat David, this means that even when God extended the boundaries of Israel, a euphemism for scattering the Jewish people into exile beyond Israel's boundaries, nichbadeta, we honored Hashem by worshiping and acknowledging only Him. Ibn Ezra reads this pasuk a little differently, but still sees it as a praise of Bnei Yisrael. He explains, Yasafta legoi, yasafta legoi. The more and more punishments Hashem heaped upon the Jewish people in exile, the more committed they remained to honoring and serving Hashem. The Midrash Tanchuma offers a unique interpretation of our pasuk. The Midrash explains that the Jewish people ask God a challenging and rhetorical question. Yasafta legoi, yasafta legoi, nichbadeta? You added years of tranquility to other nations and other people, and yet did they honor you by bringing sacrifices? No. However, we have never failed to uphold your sacrifices. Therefore, add years of tranquility for us. Not only did we continue to honor Hashem and stay faithful despite our suffering, but, explains the Radak, we recognize that our suffering came as a punishment from Hashem, and therefore we accepted it and were motivated to pour out our hearts in prayer to Him. Pasuk Yud Zayin invokes the metaphor of a woman in labor, screaming in pain. Kemo hara takriv laledet tachil tizak bechavaleha, kein hayinu mipanecha Hashem. Like a woman with child approaching childbirth, writhing and screaming in her labor pains. So are we because of you, Hashem. Just like a woman in labor accepts her labor pains, understanding that the pain is a necessary part of giving birth, the Jewish people accepted the pain and suffering of their exile. Malbim explains, not only are the labor pains necessary, but they mean that something incredible is about to happen, the birth of a baby. This is how we view our galut, painful but worth the pain, in order to experience the delivery of redemption. Radak adds to the metaphor. He explains that just like a woman in labor might hate her husband for the pain he is causing her to experience, but ultimately, of course, loves him, we maintain our love for Hashem even when we struggle and suffer. Because of this faithfulness and righteousness, we ask Hashem in Pasuk Yod Tet to include us in the ultimate miracle of Techiyat HaMetim. The perek ends with Yishayahu instructing the people, Lech ami bo bechadarecha usgor delatecha, go into your room and close the door, hide from God's anger. Radak explains this as a metaphor for enveloping ourselves in good deeds and teshuva, so that we will be unscathed by God's anger when He ultimately punishes the wicked. In the final Pasuk of our perek, Yishayahu declares, Ki hine Hashem yotzei mimkomo lifkod avon yoshev haaretz alav. Yishayahu seems to have drawn his own conclusion that, although he will not necessarily do so immediately, God will indeed punish the wicked. Justice will be served. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.